19. Na yudhyamana ya bhaktiya. Okay, 20. Let's try 20. Prasangam ajaram pasham.
Prasangam ajaram pasham.
Atmanak kavayo viduhu.
Atmanak kavayo viduhu.
Sa eva sadhu sukrito.
Sa eva sadhu sukrito.
Moksha dwaram apavritam.
Moksha dwaram apavritam.
Prasangam ajaram pasham.
Prasangam ajaram pasham.
Atmanak kavayo viduhu.
Atmanak kavayo viduhu.
Sa eva sadhu sukrito.
Sa eva sadhu sukrito.
Moksha dwaram apavritam.
Moksha dwaram apavritam.
Here. Prasangam. Attachment. Ajaram. Strong. Pasham.
Entanglement.
Atmanaha.
Of the soul.
Kavayaha.
Learned men.
Viduhu.
No.
Sah
eva.
That same.
Sadushu.
To the devotees.
Kritaha.
Applied.
Moksha
dwaram.
The door of liberation.
Apavritam.
Opened.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Every learned man knows well
that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul.
That same attachment,
when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation.
Purport.
Here it is clearly stated that attachment for one thing is the cause of bondage and conditioned life, and the same attachment when applied to something else opens the door of liberation. Attachment cannot be killed. It simply has to be transferred. Attachment for material things is called material consciousness. An attachment for Krishna or for his devotees is called Krishna consciousness. Consciousness, therefore, is the platform of attachment. It is clearly stated here that when we simply purify the consciousness from material consciousness to Krishna consciousness, we attain liberation. Despite the statement that one should give up attachment, desirelessness is not possible for a living entity. A living entity by constitution has the propensity to be attached to something. We see that if someone has no object of attachment, if he has no children, then he transfers his attachment to cats and dogs. This indicates that the propensity for attachment cannot be stopped. It must be utilized for the best purpose. Our attachment for material things perpetuates our conditioned state. But the same attachment, when transferred to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his devotee, is the source of liberation. Here it is recommended that attachment should be transferred to the self-realized devotees, the sadhus. And who is a sadhu? A sadhu is not just an ordinary man with a saffron robe or a long beard. A sadhu is described in Bhagavad Gita as one who unflinchingly, that's another favorite word of Prabhupada, flinch. Who unflinchingly engages in devotional service, even though one is found not to be following the strict rules and regulations of devotional service, if one simply has unflinching faith in Krishna, the Supreme Person, he is understood to be a sadhu. Sadhu
eva samantavyaha. A sadhu is a strict follower of devotional service. It is recommended here that if one wants to realize Brahman or spiritual perfection, his attachment should be transferred to the sadhu or devotee. Lord Chaitanya also confirms this. Lobo matra sadhu sanghi sarva shiri hoy. Simply by a moment's association with a sadhu, one can attain perfection. Mahatma is a symptom of sadhu, a synonym of sadhu. It is said that service to a Mahatma, or elevated devotee of the Lord, is Dwaram Ahur Vimukti, the royal road of liberation. Mahatsevam Dwaram Ahur Vimukti, Tamo Dwaram Yoshitam, Sangi Sangam. Where's that statement from? Who's speaking? Vishabdev. Fifth chapter, fifth canto. This is the second verse of his instructions. Rendering service to the materialist has the opposite effect. If anyone offers service to a gross materialist or a person engaged in sense enjoyment, then by association with such a person, the door to hell is opened. The same, that's what Vishabdev says. The same principle is confirmed here. Attachment to a devotee is attachment to the service of the Lord. Because if one associates with a sadhu, the result will be that the sadhu will teach him how to become a devotee, a worshipper, and a sincere servitor of the Lord. These are the gifts of a sadhu. If we want to associate with a sadhu, we cannot expect him to give us instructions how to improve our material condition. But he will give us instructions on how to cut the knot of the contamination of material attraction and how to elevate ourselves in devotional service. That is the result of associating with a sadhu. Kapila Muni first of all instructs that the path of liberation begins with such association. So first thing is that prasangam, attachment, is unavoidable. One who is dependent is attached. A child has to be attached to the mother. Maybe a little boy, 9 years old, wants to run away from home. He can try, but then later in the afternoon he comes home again. Who's going to feed him? Where is he going to sleep? So he's attached to his mother and father. And that attachment is unavoidable. If someone is weak, is small, is dependent, then he has to be attached. If he's not independent, and nobody is independent but God. Ekala Ishvara Krishna. Arshobritya. Only Krishna is actually God. You can call Yogeshwara, this Yeshwara, master of this, master of that, master of chemistry, master of chess. So many masters. But the only real master is Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Arshobritya. Everybody else, we say a servant, but vritya is from the verb dubring, bharane, to maintain, to uphold. Somebody who has to be maintained is vritya. This is, kyap pratyaya. One who has to be maintained. Swatantra nasti. He's not independent. Anya adharita bhavati. He's maintained. He can only exist being maintained by somebody else. Like a shudra. A shudra cannot maintain himself. He needs to be provided food, a place to live. You know, just like the great Soviet Union, socialist republics, means that everybody has to be maintained. Everyone's a shudra. No one can take care of himself. You expect the government to maintain you. That's socialism. In China, they have a saying, the iron rice pot, rice bowl. That means you're guaranteed. You're going to get something to eat. The government guarantees you're going to get a bowl of rice. So the bowl of rice is made out of iron, unbreakable. You know, the government will feed everybody. Nobody, you know. So you end up with the mentality, we pretend to work and they pretend to pay us. Yeah. That's shooter mentality. Socialist state, where everyone's dependent. Everyone is Britya. And everyone is Britya. There is that transcendental socialism, that everyone is maintained by God. Eko bahunam yo vididati kaman. Eko, there's one supreme person who's maintaining everybody else. Everybody else is Britya. So, you can't be independent. You have to be attached. Just like a child has to hold on to the parent. You know, the parent is taking the child to the shopping center. Hold on to my hand. Don't let go. So we also have to hold on to the hand of Krishna and not let go, because we're not independent. Attachment must be there. Yes, all the sadhus will tell you, even the Mayavadis, pseudo-sadhus, will tell us, prasangamajaram pasham. Attachment is the cause of our bondage. You know, bandhasya karanam. The cause of our material bondage, our suffering, is attachment. But attachment cannot be stopped. It can only be properly directed. It can be redirected, but it cannot be stopped. Because the nature of the living entity is he is dependent. He must be attached. It's just a question, attached to what? Or to Maya. Now, most of us choose Maya. And that's our problem. So therefore, attachment is the cause of our bondage, but the same attachment, and he doesn't say here, Kapiladeva doesn't say Saeva Krishne Krito. Doesn't fit the meter anyway. Saeva Krishne Hi Krito. No, he doesn't say that. He says Sadhushu Krito. Why? Why not just attach ourselves directly to Krishna? Who needs sadhus? Who needs the Vaishnavas? I'll go to Krishna. I don't trust anybody else. I'll go to Krishna directly. Not what Krishna wants us to do. Not the right way to go about it, because it's not what Krishna wants. You want Krishna's shelter? Do it his way. Please him. Mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. Those who take shelter of me, they can transcend Maya. But you want to take shelter? You're the dependent. You're the weak person who needs shelter. You have to do it on the terms of the person giving shelter. You want my shelter? Okay. But I'll tell you how I want to give the shelter, and you follow. So Krishna wants us to not approach him directly, but approach him through his devotees. Of course, we can say Krishna is a very important man, VIP. And you don't just walk into the office of an important minister. You have to meet his secretary. And to meet his secretary, you probably have to meet the secretary's secretary and pay all sorts of bhakshis. And then you finally get an appointment to meet the important man. You can't just walk in the door. You have to approach his servant. You know, and the servant talks to the malik. And then you get permission to talk. So you want to connect to Krishna, you have to go through his servant. That's one way to look at it, simply because Krishna is a very important man. But it's not the only understanding why we have to go to the devotee. Krishna, he's very nice. He'll make himself available. He's not some proud, arrogant person. Krishna can make himself available to everyone. He's sitting in everybody's heart. So if Krishna was unavailable, you know, he's out of station, and we can't find him,
Now we can understand it's difficult to approach, but he's sitting in your own heart. He's right next to you, in the heart. Jivatma, where, you know, if you're sitting in the room next to me, I don't have to shout. We don't need a loudspeaker. We don't need a microphone. Everyone is sitting within distance that we can hear, very close. Close enough, we can carry on a conversation without difficulty. But Krishna is sitting even closer, much closer. He's sitting, you know, a few inches away in the heart. Paramatma, Jivatma are both in the region of the heart. The region of the heart, how big is it? The size of a fist. So inside the same fist, Krishna and the Jiva are sitting. Dwal Sakayal Sayujal, no, Dwal Suparnal Sayujal Sakayal. Samanam Viksham Parisaswajate. Two friendly birds are sitting together on the same branch of a tree. Or they're sitting on the same tree, maybe different branches, but the same tree. Toyora Anya Pipalam Swadyati. One of them is eating the pipala fruit. This is pipala tree. Pipala is what kind?
Pipala.
Pipala is not, it's not long pepper, is it? Okay, so pipala is long, it's a kind of mirch. It's long pepper. What do you call it? Piper longum in Latin. Long pepper. That's pipala. It's bitter. It's eating pepper. It doesn't taste nice. Yeah. It's useful as a spice. But as a fruit, it's not very sweet. It is technically a fruit. But it's a pungent fruit. But the silly bird, the one bird, is eating all these pipala, you know, pieces of pepper. And he thinks it's very nice. He thinks it's sweet. He's a fool. He thinks that the sharp pepper is sweet. The other bird is simply looking at him. Anyo abhichasya kiti. The other bird, the second bird, is simply watching his friend. When is he going to realize his fruit is not sweet? You know, I'm not going to interfere. He's my friend. Silly bird. I'm a smarter bird than him. But I'm waiting for him to stop this foolishness. Yeah, we can go find some better tree with some nice sweet fruits on it. I heard in Goloka the fruits are very sweet. So, the Paramatma is sitting very close to us. He's available. Just like I can talk to anybody here in this room. I don't have to use a telephone. We don't have to worry about the antenna working. We can talk in person. We're close. But Paramatma is much closer. He's sitting on the same tree, sitting inside the same fist-sized heart. So close. How close can you get? Nobody else is closer than that. You can't fit any third person inside the heart. No one else is as close. So how can you say, where am I going to find this Paramatma? He's not available. He's out of station. He's right in your heart. You can talk to him. But it's not the etiquette. Yeah. He's such an important person. But not only because he's an important person, because he doesn't want to interfere. He's our friend. He's the other bird sitting on the tree. And we are the silly bird. The foolish bird who wants to eat pepper and think it's sweet. So he doesn't want to interfere. You want to forget me? You came to the material world to forget me? That's your choice. I will let you try to enjoy the material world. And when you've decided you've had enough, then you can come back to me. I'm always here. Just like a parent sends the child away. Okay, you want to go live your own life. India, they don't do this. They don't let you live your own life in India. Even when you're 40 years old. But in the West, child, boy is 18 years old. Okay, go and live your own life. But if you need us, we're here to help you. We're your parents. We're always your parents. Like that. So I'm always your super soul. Go ahead and enjoy the material world. I won't interfere. Because I want you to surrender to me voluntarily. Prapadyante. Must be voluntarily. You choose to come back to me. You choose to love me. I will not force you to love me. Krishna could create an army of robots to serve him. He already has material energy completely under his control. The demigods are all afraid of him. Mityu Davati Panchamaha. Tadbayat Vati Vato Yam. Suryas Tapati Tadbayat. Dahat Agnir. No. Varsha Dindro Dahat Yagnir. Mityu Charati Tadbayat. Out of fear of God. The. What is the first one? Tadbayat Vati Vato. The wind is blowing. The sun is shining, fire is burning, all out of fear of God. And fifth of the number, death is going about claiming the fallen souls. All out of fear of God. So God has so many servants who are afraid of him. And he has the Maya, Prakriti, pulling the strings on the dead puppets of the three modes of nature. Putilika, just dolls pulling the strings. Mechanical material energy is working completely under the control of God. But the jivas are autonomous. They always are given the choice to surrender to Krishna or not. It is their choice. Love must be voluntary, and therefore the Supreme Lord does not interfere with our nonsense. Arjuna told Krishna at the end of the Gita, iti te guyam akhyatam guyatamam maya vimishai tadasheshena yate jasitata kuru. I have told you the most secret of all secrets. Now you think about it and you decide what you want to do. Fight or don't fight. You decide. Yate jasitata kuru. As you like, you decide what to do. I've given you my instructions. And Prabhupada was giving Bhagavatam class one morning in Honolulu when I was there. He gave this, spoke this verse, and he paraphrased it in his own words. Krishna is saying, I am your spiritual master. I have given you good instruction. Now you decide what you want to do. I will not interfere with your nonsense. Yeah. Krishna will not interfere. We want to do nonsense. We want to forget him and try to be independent. Krishna will not force us to change. He'll let us continue being nonsense as long as we want. And then when we want to come back to him, then he'll help us. He will not interfere. So he does not himself tell us to surrender. He doesn't make, he never, well, he advises in the Bhagavad Gita. But normally he doesn't even, as a super soul, he doesn't even give that advice. Super soul, he keeps his mouth quiet and is simply the witness. And even as Krishna, even the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita, does not force Arjuna to surrender. I've given you all instructions, 18 chapters, you take to see the Tata Guru. Now you think and you do what you want to do. I won't force you. He does not interfere. But he makes arrangement to help the conditioned souls by sending his devotees, the sadhus. The sadhus can interfere. Krishna himself won't interfere, but his devotees will. They'll grab us by the neck and say, you surrender to Krishna, or else. They can do that. They have the prerogative. The Prabhupada even talked about one way of preaching. To take a gun, point it at someone's head and say, you will surrender to Krishna now? Yeah. So, not that we're, it's not the program of ISKCON. Yeah. To convert by force. But sometimes the sadhus do that even. At least a sadhu can interfere where Krishna will not. He can tell you, nonsense, surrender to Krishna. Krishna himself won't say that. So therefore it's so important to approach the sadhu. Therefore Kapila Dev says here, Saiva Sadhu Shukrito, when our attachment is given to the devotees,
of Vishnu. Then that opens the door to liberation. The proper procedure, the etiquette, is to try to approach God by approaching his devotees. We already rejected Krishna. To show Krishna that we want to undo that mistake, we have to please his devotees. That's the proper etiquette. Sa eva sadhu sukrito. So, Kapila Dev is giving, in this beginning of his explanation of the actual procedure of devotional service, he's giving all emphasis to the importance of attaching yourself to the sadhus and learning how to associate with them correctly. And then he explains who the sadhus are. Before this, in the first verses of his, we've already had about 10 verses of instruction from Kapila, but he was just talking generally about some general principles of spiritual life. Now he's giving practical, specific instructions how to actually begin that spiritual life. The first principle is, we must redirect our attachment to the sadhus. First principle. And then, in the next verses, Kapila Dev is going to identify who the real sadhus are. We must be careful not to misidentify the sadhus. A sadhu, Prabhupada says, is not just an ordinary man with a saffron robe or a long beard, or even just Urdhva Pundra. Somebody, you know, anybody can put the Urdhva Pundra on. The beggars who are sitting on the street here, they know on a busy day they can easily make 200 rupees just sitting there. And if they put the Gaudiya Vaishnava Tilak, they can get 300 rupees. So it's good business to wear this Urdhva Pundra. So not everybody is automatically a sadhu just by dressing like a sadhu. Sadhu is a strict follower of devotional service, but that ultimately means having faith and attraction to Krishna. That is a real sadhu. One who is the person we should become attached to is the real sadhu. And the real sadhu is the person who is attached to Krishna. Shabde parecha nishnatam. The person who is fully dedicated, who is fully absorbed in the absolute truth, in his form of Shabda Brahman and Parabrahman. Those two forms. The sound form of God in his name, in the Gita and the Bhagavatam, and God himself, the person. But how do we connect with the person? The connection is, some sadhus have a personal connection. Some sadhus have prema. They have realized their swarupa with Krishna. Others have not yet come to that stage, but they are connected with Krishna and they are real sadhus, because they are connected to Krishna's parampara, Vaishnava parampara. There are four standard Vaishnava sampradayas coming from Brahma, Lakshmi, the Kumaras, and Mahadev. If you connect to one of these four sampradayas, then you are connected to Krishna. If you're properly have diksha in the Vaishnava sampradaya, and you're a faithful follower, then you have your connection with Krishna. You may not be Paramahamsa. You may not have realized your Swarupa, but your connection is there. You are actually serving Krishna. Rupa Goswami says in Upadeshamrita, Dikshasti Ched, Paniti Bhischa Bhajantam Isham. The qualification of a proper devotee, of a real sadhu, he may not be Paramahamsa, but even on the second level, he has his proper diksha. He is following bhajantamisham. He is actually practicing the service of the Lord, bhajanam. That means he's accepting instructions from his spiritual master and following properly. That is real diksha and real bhajanam. So that person is also connected. He's really a sadhu. He's just not a perfect sadhu yet. He's
Madhyama Bhakta, middle class sadhu, but that's also a good sadhu. The Prakriti Bhakta is not really a sadhu yet. He's sadhu candidate. Okay. But the second class and first class devotee, they can be accepted as sadhu, they can be accepted as guru, because they have connection to Krishna. And Prabhupada points out, Krishna said himself in the Gita, that even if his behavior is not perfect, still Krishna considers him sadhu if he's dedicated to Krishna, if he's always thinking about trying to please Krishna. Even if he's doing a bad job of it, even if he's deviating, Krishna accepts him as a sadhu. Okay, maybe third class sadhu. A sadhu who is not following the principles properly. But Krishna says still he's a sadhu. Api ched sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyava sadhudeva samantavya. Even if his behavior is very bad, maybe he's breaking the principles. Or maybe he's not breaking the principles, but he causes everybody so much trouble. Fighting with other devotees, being angry at devotees. He's got material attachments, he eats too much, he enjoys too much. So he's not a very good sadhu, but he's still a sadhu. Krishna accepts him. Sadhu Deva, you must consider him a sadhu. I consider him a sadhu, Krishna says. Samyag vyavasito. Because in his mind, manasi nishchaya asti, he has decided in his mind that I will give my life to Krishna. And sooner or later, shipram bhavati dharmatma, very quickly, he will correct his behavior and he will become dharmic. He may not be so dharmic now. He may not be on a very high standard of dharma, but he will become better. His attachment to Krishna will make him quickly improve. Shashvat jantim nigachati. He will attain eternal peace. So that person is a sadhu, even if his behavior is not perfect, if he's attached to Krishna. And Kapila Dev is going to tell us in the next verses, more specifically, the qualities of a sadhu, and we can get the idea of who he means, what he means, a sadhu. It'll be obvious to us a sadhu means a Vaishnava. The one who is not a Vaishnava cannot be a real sadhu. And anybody who's a Vaishnava, even though his background is bad and he has not yet corrected all his faults, still he's a real sadhu because he's devotee of Vishnu, devotee of the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna. Okay, any questions or comments? Yes,
you just mentioned that Kapila is going to describe the qualities of the sadhu. And who is that sadhu?
Yes.
So is he going to mention specifically that the sadhu is a devotee of Vishnu, or otherwise somebody can, you know, say, why you interpret the sadhu as a devotee of Vishnu because you are partial? I mean, you want to say that the sadhu is a sahib of
Sadhu
Shukrito.
Yes.
Can we say?
Well, all you have to do is look at the next four verses, and you'll see. Although he doesn't say in exactly those words, a sadhu is a Vaishnava, but you can deduct it very easily. He says the sadhus are always thinking about me; they're always attracted to hearing about me. So, Kapila is the incarnation of Vishnu. So who's going to be interested in hearing about Kapila and always chanting about him and remembering him but Vaishnavas? Materialists are not going to. Impersonalists are not going to be interested. Worshippers of some demigod. It's only the Vaishnavas who are going to fit that, match that qualification. So it just takes a little bit of deduction. Read what he says and think about it a little bit. It's obvious that he's talking about Vaishnavas. Okay, very obvious after reading three more verses. Okay? Yes.
And also in regard to the qualities that he mentions next, Bhagavatam itself later on says, they can't have them. People who don't worship Hari, they cannot have those qualities.
Do you remember where that statement is?
Is it chapter?
Fifth or sixth?
chapter 18.
That means it's one of the devotees in Jambudvipa speaking. 18.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. No, it's some devotee saying that, yeah. But anyway, it's definitely a significant statement of the Bhagavatam.
Shrideva Goswami obviously accepted that, otherwise he would not have repeated it.
Yes. And Srila Prabhupada, how many hundreds of times did he quote that one verse? So it's a very important verse. It's completely in line with the basic principles of the Bhagavatam, that someone who's not a devotee of Hari cannot even have material good qualities. What good qualities does a non-Vaishnava have? That radical statement. And they can say, look, these sectarians, enthusiastic Vaishnavas, are condemning everybody else who's not a Vaishnava. But Shukadeva Goswami is saying that. We didn't say it. This is Shukadeva speaking, or he's repeating the words. So don't blame us, blame Shukadeva.
Logically explicable pretty easily as well, if people just have the patience and the open-mindedness to understand how it's so.
Yes.
And he explains in the next line, he's just hovering on the mental plane, so he may look good for now, but it's just a matter of time before it blows it.
Yes. But a Vaishnava, a devotee of Hari, can rise above the mental plane and actually become real. You can actually contact reality and understand it clearly with higher intelligence. Okay, anything else? Hey, thank you. All glory Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.